Lazar. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honors. Jim Lazar representing Appellant John Davis. At the time that this lawsuit was filed in 1988, the catalyst theory was in effect. And subsequently to that, this court temporarily overturned that theory in the OCA decision in 2002. Then in 2007, Congress amended the attorney fees provision expressly to overturn the Buchanan OCA line of decisions.
But now in 2006, in your...
Pardon?
In your 2006 trip up here, didn't we address attorney's fees?
Yes, you did, and you ruled that under the OCA precedent that attorney fees were not available. But the Congress, in enacting the Open Government Act, clearly intended to overturn OCA because OCA is based on Buchanan and Buchanan.
Right, but the question is whether it's applied retroactively.
Yes.
That's the issue. I mean, we all agree with that.
Right.
With what you just said, but that doesn't help us with the issue here.
Well, whether or not it applies retroactively depends in part on the intent of Congress.
Well, no, it also depends on what on OCA, because OCA said that at the time the disclosure was made here, there was no catalyst theory. And if you apply Summers to that, then if you apply
this case is distinguishable from that.
Why is that?
Because Summers found that the operative event was the settlement, which occurred during the period that OCA was in effect. Here, both before and after OCA, Davis is a substantially prevailing party. Materials, if in terms of the analysis of Summers, that it is the disclosure that is the triggering event.
Yeah, and the disclosure in this case occurred at a time in view of, at a time of, under OCAR when there was no catalyst.
No, the disclosures occurred pre-OCA.
That's right.
Pre-OCA, OCA there was a catalyst.
Yes, OCA said that OCA applied Buchanan, right?
Yes.
To FOIA.
Yes, it did.
And Davis held that that applied to the disclosure in this case, right?
If you're talking about the opinion,
Davis four.
Judge Kennedy's opinion, Judge Kennedy's opinion is very narrow and addresses only one aspect of the retroactivity controversy. It doesn't really address retroactivity directly. It rests on the issue of sovereign immunity.
I was talking about this court.
Pardon?
I was talking about this court.
Oh, this court's prior decision in the Davis case.
Right.
Yes. Well, our position on that is that that has been overturned by Congress in the 2007 Act. Mm-hmm. The Act clearly, the legislative history of the Act, Senator Cornyn makes clear in introducing the bill that it is intended to preserve the catalyst theory. That's very strong language, indicating not only that it intends to keep it going in the future, but it intends to keep going what existed prior to the Buchanan decision. The Senator
I thought Summers resolved that question.
Pardon?
I thought Summers resolved that question. Summers says that at the first step of this analysis, the law is clear. It's not retroactive. We have to go to the second step.
Summers.
You don't like Summers. I can understand why.
So can I.
Yeah.
Summers basically disregarded the legislative history and does not appear to have been aware of some of the latest.
Well, Summers is binding on us. If Pardon? You don't like Summers, you've got to take it to the en-bank court or to the Supreme Court.
Well,
Summers binds us.
I don't think that Summers binds you, because the law with respect to waiver of sovereign immunity, with respect to when attorney fees are applied, trace back to this court's decision in Cuneo. That is the law of the circuit.
But Buchanan and Okaw tell us that was wrong, right?
But Buchanan and Okaw are, Buchanan is not based on FOIA. It is based on two other statutes which employ.
But Buchanan laid down the principle that was applied in Okaw, which tells us that the idea of substantially prevailing never meant catalyst.
Yes.
It never meant it. We can't regard it as if that was the law. That's not what Congress intended. That's not what the law enacted. But the first time you have catalyst theory being law that's binding is under the amendment.
No, the first time you had it that is binding is under Cuneo.
But that's erased by the Supreme Court.
I disagree that it is, because Buchanan is not a FOIA case. It does not apply a FOIA statute. The statute involved uses a different language than the two civil rights statutes that were involved in Buchanan. It can't be regarded as a precedent for FOIA cases under those circumstances. That being the case, what
Okaw certainly thought it was, right?
It may have thought it was, but it's...
So now you want us to take down Okaw and Summers.
Neither one of them is relevant in terms of precedent. Okay. The precedent has to be directly on point. These decisions are not directly on point because they involve different statutes with different purposes and different wording of the attorney fees provision. So that leaves you with the proposition that Cuneo is the law of the circuit. And that is the law which must be dealt with here, either by this panel or en banc, whichever. But that's the situation that's got to be dealt with. And the legislative history,
this isn't a rhetorical question. I just can't recall. What did we say in Okaw about Cuneo?
I don't recall that you said anything about it. I don't think that you necessarily would have, because the thrust of the opinion is all based on Buchanan and Buchanan's focus on laying down a principle that applied across the board to all kinds of statutes, regardless of the purpose or intent or goals of those statutes, regardless of the wording of the operative attorney fee provisions. So in addition to the legislative history, which clearly indicates that Congress intended to preserve and maintain the catalyst theory, you just have a common sense proposition in front of you, and Landgraf acknowledges the importance of deciding these issues on a common sense basis. It makes no sense whatsoever to hold that Congress endorsed a 6-year hiatus in the catalyst theory that would have the effect of disrupting the efforts of the FOIA requesters that they were trying to promote by enacting the Open Government Act. It makes no sense whatsoever, and the government in all its submissions has not begun to suggest why it makes any sense to enact a new law trying to correct a decision that had upset the prior law.
You're re-arguing Summers again, I think.
I may be.
Yeah.
But if, right. as I say, Summers is distinguishable because in Summers, the operative event that Summers focuses on is the settlement. Here there are disclosures that preceded Summers, and the same calculus that accompanied that disclosure was not in effect under the Summers decision. So it is distinguishable from this case. I think my time is about up.
One question, sorry. Thank you, we'll give you a minute or so.
Thank you.
Reply. Ms. Lyons?
Good morning, may it please the court. This case presents two issues of second impression. Davis cannot establish that he substantially prevailed under the FOIA because first, as this court held last year in Summers versus Department of Justice, both the Open Government Act does not apply retroactively and OCAW determines pre-amendment eligibility. Second issue of second impression is that this court has already decided in 2006 that Mr. Davis was not entitled to fees under OCAW. I'd like to address...
Well, but at the time the documents were turned over, it was pre-Buckhannon, right?
Yes, Your Honor. In this case, the documents were released between 1995...
Yeah, pre-Buckhannon.
Yes. Okay. Between 1995 and 1999, which is pre...
And if you apply the Summers language to that, that's the point at which the government made its calculation, right?
My response to that is that courts apply the case law of their own
Just
effect at the time of their decision.
Yeah. Well, Summers is it. So Summers says, that's the decision we're making now. Summers says you apply it at the time, you apply it at the time the government makes its calculation about whether to release documents. In this case, that was pre-Buckhannon, and obviously at that time it knew it was liable, could be liable for fees under the catalyst theory, yet it turned the documents over.
Your Honor,
that's the calculation that Summers is talking about.
Yeah, the calculation that Summers is talking about is part of the reasoning of the decision, and it's not part of the holding. In any case in which the litigation continues...
Would you say that again? You're saying the language that I'm relying on in Summers is just dictum?
Yes, Your Honor. It's not part of the holding. It's not necessary to the holding. It explains
why...
Well,
your colleague from another agency just stood up here and relied on that language.
I'm not sure which part of his argument you're referring to.
Well, you were here, weren't you?
Yes.
His whole argument was that the Summers calculation occurred in that case in October.
Yes, at the time they reached the settlement.
And that, no, not the time they reached the settlement, in October, when the documents were turned over, or September, whenever it was. His argument was, representing the same government you represent, their argument was that this language in Summers is controlling, and therefore we look to the date at which the government turned over the documents and presumably made a calculation that it would do it, even though it might be liable for fees or might not be, right? So in Summers, it did that at a time when there was no catalyst theory. And so your colleague argued that, therefore, there's no, the government's not liable for fees. So I'm asking you exactly the same question. You take the Summers language, it says we look to the time the government made its decision, and here the government made its decision pre-Buckhannon. So obviously at that point it knew there was a potential for fees. Yet it turned over what were they, films in this case? Films.
They were wiretaps.
Wiretaps, yeah. So that's all. Just help me with that.
Well, Summers does not hold that the court deviates from its normal rule of applying the case law that is applicable at the time it renders the decision on the motion that's pending. Nothing about Summers alters that ordinary law. At the time the releases were made in this case, the catalyst theory had not been codified. It was not part of the FOIA.
So the Summers language is over. The Summers language is just overbroad. Is that your point? When Summers wrote that, it didn't anticipate a case like this, a pre-Buckhannon case?
I think that's correct.
Is
I
that
don't
your
think
point?
It thought through all the possible permutations of when the conduct
But not
might
this
be.
Case, right.
And there might be a different a different calculus to be made. For example, in a settlement posture, it seems like the parties in the previous case were contemplating a settlement, perhaps. In this case, there's no settlement. There are some voluntary releases that are made. They're not ordered by a court, and they're not a product of a consent decree. The litigation continues for many more years, and both parties take the risk in that interim that the courts will interpret the statutes that apply differently. Now, the only way that a statute can apply retroactively is where there's clear language in the statute, particularly if it involves a waiver of sovereign immunity, clear language in the statute that it's meant to apply retroactively, and here there is none.
Is there significance to the fact that Summers was dealing with a case in which the disclosure was post-Buckhannon, and here we're dealing with a case where it's pre-Buckhannon? Is there any significance in that?
I don't believe it makes a difference, Your Honor, to the ultimate resolution of the attorney's fees petition. I don't believe it makes a difference.
That's because, so I want to be sure I understand your argument, that's because OCAW determined that at that time there was no catalyst theory. That's your theory, right? At the time of the disclosure in this case.
OCAW interpreted the attorney's fees provision of the FOIA to disallow recovery under a catalyst theory.
Yeah, but I thought it was critical to your argument that it was a declaration that pre-Buckhannon or pre-OCAW, there was no, in other words, the courts had misinterpreted the statute, and that properly interpreted, there was no catalyst theory. Otherwise, I don't see how you can possibly win this case.
No, you're correct, Your Honor. If Mr. Davis had moved for attorney's fees prior to the Buckhannon decision, he might have gotten them. We'll never know because that's not the decision before the court today. The decision before the court today is one that was rendered much more recently. And in litigation...
That's Davis, four.
Davis, yes, from 2006, uh-huh. with a cert petition denied in 2007. So this case is simply governed by the non-retroactivity of the Open Government Act, as found in Summers, and the fact that Mr. Davis has already been found not to have substantially prevailed under OCAW. I would also note that two other circuits to have considered the retroactivity of the Open Government Act have concurred with this court. Those are the Eighth and the Ninth Circuits. In response to a question you actually asked a little while ago, Judge Griffith, about Cuneo being mentioned in OCAW, I don't believe that it is, but Cuneo is mentioned and distinguished in the Brown case we cited in our brief, which dealt with the retroactivity of interest payments against the government in Title VII in the 1991 amendments to the Civil Rights Act, and that's addressed there. There are no further questions. I respectfully request that the district court's denial of attorney's fees and costs in this case be affirmed.
All right, thank you.
Okay. I'd just like to make two quick points. One is that Davis did move for attorney's fees prior to Buckhannon. He did so twice. He did so in 1998. He did so again in 2000. Secondly, I would just like to emphasize that the law expressed in Supreme Court decisions and in this court's decision in Cuneo and other cases is that the retroactivity goes to whether or not a case is pending, and this case was pending at the time the Open Government Act amendment took effect. If there are no other questions, that's all.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.